Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Point. This is our Top Dogs episode. I want to thank you guys for joining us. We're going to recap NFL Week 9 action. This is how we do it every week. I am Brandon Robertson, and I'm joined by Aaron Hoche. Aaron never does the Wednesday show, but guess what? He's on here tonight. He's filling in for Taha. It's a dynamic duo, so we're going to jump into a lot of different players, a lot of different topics. And really just kind of give you a recap of our overall thoughts of what just kind of took place in the NFL. So it's going to be a good show. We're going to try to knock it out in an hour. And just a little heads up, we've had some technical difficulties. We're trying to get together. So if we have like a little fade out, just kind of bear with us. We'll get it together. So like I said, once again, thanks for joining us. Really, really appreciate that. Aaron, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, bro? Man, I don't know what to do. I'm getting my cherry popped on Wednesday.
Now, the Wednesday show is cool, man. Wednesday show is cool. Like I said, we're going to look at the top dogs. You know, basically, we take the top five positions, the quarterback, the running back, wide receiver, tight end, and I'm at the top five players from those positions. You just kind of highlight them. You know, we talk about their stats, their performances. Some guys we expected to do well, others not so much. So it'll be really cool. You know, we always start to show up with the Sunday wrap-up, just kind of talk about some games. And I think that's a really a good place to start. So looking at NFL Week 9, it's always crazy, right? Always crazy. We always get unpredictable things, right? And I wanted to start with that St. Louis and Minnesota Viking game, right? Todd Gurley versus really Adrian Peterson. And, you know, we were kind of looking at that game. You know, we had high expectations. I think Taha's bold prediction is that both of them will rush for like, I want to say like more than 300 yards combined or something like 385, right? As a tandem. And I think Todd Gurley had 89 yards. He did find the end zone. And if you're in a PPR league, he put up 19 points, which is really good. And Adrian Peterson, on the other hand, his performance was 125 yards, and he found the end zone. He put up 22 points. So both of them, you know, showed up fantasy points-wise, right? I mean, and they both hit the end zone. And, you know, and AP went over 100 yards, and Gurley was 10 yards short. So, I mean, they put good performances, just not, you know, ape shit kind of rushing.
Just not godly performances like Taha was expecting to say.
Yeah, they didn't hit the bold prediction. I mean, you own Todd Gurley, right? You've seen AP play a lot. What were your thoughts on Sunday? You know, when it comes to these two guys.
Oh, man, I was excited. It was something that you see Adrian Peterson is – or Todd Gurley is Adrian Peterson 5-6 years ago. They're pretty much both the same type of runner. They hit the hole, they're north-south, and they got breakaway speed. They both run strong and powerful. So to see a matchup like that, we haven't seen two running back matchups like that, and I can't remember the last time. Two explosive, hard-nosed running backs like that. You know, obviously AP got the better end this time, but he's getting older. He's still very, very good back. You know, I still put him as top five, top seven running backs in the league. But Gurley, man, he's young, and, you know, he's just barring injury, just stay healthy. He's going to be something to deal with the years to come, and I could see him I can see him doing great things moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit it on the head. Gurley's just explosive, man. He's just an explosive running back, and he's as advertised. You know, the guy was amazing in college, and, you know, for the most part, I think everyone believed that it would translate to the NFL. They were just concerned about the injury, you know, but
right.
The dude is a stud. He is a freaking stud, and I think we're seeing that next great running back in the making, you know. But yeah, it's been a long time since we got excited over watching two running backs go head to head. So I mean, it was really good to watch them battle. Now there was another fantasy relevant player in that game. You know, we had talked a little bit about wide receiver Stephon Diggs. You know, the guy had been on a really good hot streak. I mean, maybe like 3-4 weeks of just really producing, and he had a tough day. He had a really tough day Sunday, and Teddy Bridgewater getting hurt didn't help it. I mean, I think Bridgewater had a concussion. So he got a little banged up, and St. Louis is just a tough defense to deal with anyway. I mean, they're just they're always going to show up and play hard. But, you know, Stephon Diggs, I mean, you know, he's had a really good run, but that streak got broke this past Sunday. I think he targeted 5 times. He caught 3 of those 5 for a little over 40 yards and no end zone. So, just a tough day for Stephon Diggs. I mean, but it is what it is. Now,
here's the thing, Brandon. You know, I wouldn't read too much into it. Stephon Diggs is the real deal. Every receiver, you're going to have an off game. It's just people are like, man, well, what happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. The 3 weeks prior to that, he's averaging 10 targets a game. So he's – who else do they have over there? You know what I'm saying? So Stephon Diggs is – he had an off game. It don't freak out. It happens. And I'm sure, you know, to see how Teddy Bridgewater is, because obviously Bridgewater sees him as his main dude. But I'm sure he'll have a bounce back performance. Look, he's projected in the PPR league right back to almost 16 points next week. So just see what happens this week. He'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's for real, man. I think he's for real. There's obviously a connection between him and Bridgewater. He's a young talent, and he can only get better. You know, he can really only get better. So I hope they keep drawing up creative ways to use him and get him the ball. Now, another game that took place Sunday that had my eye, the Carolina Panthers versus the Green Bay Packers. Carolina pulls out another win. They just keep finding ways to win games, man. It's crazy, but they just keep finding a way. They keep finding a way, still undefeated. And I think for me on the Green Bay side of the ball, two things that really stood out. One, Aaron Rodgers had basically kind of been struggling for the last 4 games. I mean, he put up a fantasy performance last week of like 10. 2 weeks before that, he got it 28, which is good for a quarterback, but not for Aaron Rodgers standards. Then he put up two games back to back at 25 apiece. You know, so, I mean, for 4 weeks, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was normal. He looked really, really normal. But he had a huge game, 4 touchdowns, almost 400 yards. So, I mean, he bounced back in a big way. But here's the real interesting thing from that Green Bay side. Eddie Lacy is no longer the number one running back at Green Bay. You know, McCarthy came out today and stated that James Starks will be the starting running back come this Sunday. And so what's your thoughts on that huge bombshell and Eddie Lacy?
Well, man, here's the thing, dude. If you look at Fat Eddie, that's just it. The dude looks fat, okay? And you might be a little nimble, but you are not Jerome Bettis. The only fat running back that did anything was Jerome Bettis, okay? So he either needs to cut down or he needs to do something, but James Starks just runs harder, and he's faster. So you got to go with what works. And here's the thing, and here's the huge thing for Green Bay moving forward and for fantasy owners that own some of the receivers. They're not getting separation from the cornerbacks, okay? Yeah. And here's the thing. So Aaron Rodgers, if the line is a little suspect, he has no time because these receivers are not getting separation. Green Bay, this was taken, and I just found this out. Green Bay has the slowest receivers in the NFL. Their average 40 time, if you take all the receivers, their average 40 time is the slowest in the NFL. So you combine that with not a lot of time and you can't get separation from DBs, Aaron Rodgers is going to end up on his back a lot of times, or he's going to be running for his life.
Wow. So I did not know that.
Yeah, so you're going to – so hopefully, you know, owners that have James Starks, get ready because – there might be some dump-offs going on. I think James Starks is probably a better catcher out of the backfield. And you know what? If you don't have time to throw it, you might have time to hand it off at least to James Starks.
Yeah. I mean, James Starks is – you're right. I mean, he runs hard. He's a good player. And he's made a lot of plays, man. I mean, let's look at Eddie Lacy's stats, right? Eddie Lacy may have been probably a top five, top ten running back drafted in fantasy. Okay? He was a guy that you wasted a first-round pick on. Eddie Lacy has found the end zone twice in 9 weeks of football, right? One of those touchdowns came in week one. So in the last 8 weeks, he's only found the end zone once. And he has over, 83 attempts, which is really not a lot of attempts. So to say he started pretty much every game, I mean, the most attempts he had rushing was in week one. Basically, I think his best week was week one. He had 19 rushing attempts, 85 yards, and a touchdown. Eddie Lacy has not broken 100 yards yet. That is just mind-boggling, right? I mean, it's actually hard to believe. You know, so last week, he actually got a negative one. he actually cost your team yards. I mean, that's just unheard of for really any running back, let alone, a top guy like Lacy. So, you can understand, man, McCarthy had to do what he had to do. And, you know, Lacy, there's always been reports of him being, like, overweight, being kind of out of shape sometimes. And, you know, when reporters have asked him about it, he always has some shit to say or like some snarky comment.
you don't have to look at the reports. You just watch the game. Look how fat he is.
Yeah. You can see it. That guy's jersey looks like a medium on those damn pads, man. Freaking hugging that love handles. I mean, he looks slow. He really does. He looks slow. It's just, I don't know. It just is not working. So I think that was huge news on the Green Bay side of things. You know, so, you know, like Aaron said, if you picked up James Starks and you got him, get ready. You know, get ready to play him. They got a good matchup going against Detroit. Now, I think they're going to Green Bay is on Detroit. So I would not be surprised if James Starks has a really breakout game. And then if we go on the Carolina side of the ball, these fucking Panthers, bro. I mean, who is Cam Newton throwing the ball to? How are they getting in the end zone so much?
Bro. I'm trying to understand it because, you know, you lose Kelvin Benjamin right before the season starts. He's out for the year. Obviously you haven't had Steve Smith in a couple years. You have this new guy, David Funches, the rookie, that just really hasn't done a whole lot. And now you got the reemergence of Ted Ginn Jr., who should now be called senior because he's been in the league long enough. I don't know, man. They're piecing it together. And here's the thing, Cam, man, he's so big, and this is what they're talking about. And if you own Cam, that's great because he's the dual threat. At 6'5", 255, dude, he puts hits on the defense. And although, you got to be careful taking as many hits as he does, but a guy that big can absorb more. And that's what they like about Cam. And then when he gets within that 10-yard line, I mean, the 10 yards within the end zone, he's a threat to running in as well. So Cam is just, I mean, his QBR isn't the greatest, but he's finding ways to win. He's using his legs when he needs to, and he's making plays. And that's what you want out of a quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. You know, his QBR is not the greatest. I mean, he completed 15 of 30 for 297, three touchdowns and an interception. So, I mean, he put up over 40 fantasy points. I mean, that's a damn good day. That's a huge day for a QB. I mean, like I said, I mean, they're just finding ways to win, bro. They're finding ways to win. They're a very good defensive team. And, I mean, we'll see what happens. But it's kind of exciting to see, you know, what's going to happen with the New England, the Bengals, the Panthers. I mean, so I think those are only three now since Denver lost to the Colts, which is the next game that I kind of want to talk about because of the injury news that came out of that. So as of now, it looks like Andrew Luck, quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, will be out anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. Wow. That's a really, really long time because playoffs, what, about 5 weeks away? Fantasy playoffs, about 5 weeks away. So, I don't know. I mean, that's a little concerning. Now, I mean, he's a tough guy. He's a big boy. I don't think he's going to be out that long, but – I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, big Luck, you know, being out there with this injury?
He's going to be out. This is what I heard. I just heard this today in the afternoon. They're saying minimum 4 weeks.
Wow.
They're saying that, anytime, I think it was a lacerated kidney? What was it? What did they say it was?
Well, I heard he had a top rib or something.
No.
Oh, no. I think it is some deal with his kidneys.
Lacerated. He has a lacerated kidney. So, I'm sorry. Did someone shank him in the middle of the game? Or what happened? I still don't understand how you get a lacerated kidney getting hit by a football player. That's how hard this man got hit. Okay. I saw the hit, and what's crazy is Luck is a tough son of a bitch because I saw that hit live, and I winced when I saw him because he got hit twice.
Yeah.
He was going down, and he got popped from behind by the other Bronco. And when he got hit from behind, I was like, ooh, that was the worst of the hit. And he got up like it was nothing, and even his players didn't know that he was really hurt. So. Mm-hmm. That says a lot about his toughness, but, dude, something like that, a lacerated kidney, they're saying that's at least a month. And then even then, they don't know what could happen after that. So, I mean, hope for the best, brace for the worst kind of thing, because when you're talking about something like that, it could be longer. They're talking 6, 7, 8 weeks, and that's season. That's the season for them.
Yeah, that's your season.
You know, and it's, Matt Hasselbeck, you know, as a 40-year-old, he does good for two games, maybe three. But what happens when he has to play 4, 5, 6 games and he's taking more and more hits? You know, that 40-year-old body is not going to be able to take punishment like a 24-year-old can.
Yeah, I mean, he got injured after the second game. Like that second time that he stood in for Andrew Luck, he got injured and he actually couldn't I want to say he missed practice that following week. And so when it was looking like Luck may not be able to come back, Hasselbeck was concerned because he was still injured, you know? So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's a tough situation. It's a tough situation. If you own Andrew Luck, I mean, Andrew Luck was someone that you drafted in the first round, right? I mean, so it's just hopefully you got a plan B. I mean, because it looks like he's going to be out, I mean, for a while. So you can't rely on him coming back. And if he does come back, like Aaron just said, I mean, is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be Andrew Luck? is he going to be limited? You know, what will he be able to do? So that's just – that's big fantasy news, bro. These injuries have been
– devastating.
They've been devastating, man. They've been devastating. We've lost Le'Veon Bell. We've lost Jordy Nelson. We lost Jamal Charles, Arian Foster. We lost Ben Roethlisberger again for the second time. And we don't know
Keenan
how.
Allen.
Well, Keenan Allen gone for the year. Who else? We lost Tony Romo. We just got back Dez Bryant. I mean, it's like, damn. It's like a who? Vincent Jackson, wide receiver, Tampa Bay. He's out. I mean, it's like a who's who. Matt Forte went down. I mean, you could throw a rock in any direction at any team, and some big name or star has either went down or out for the season. It's just like, man, with all these injuries, when it comes to fantasy, if you don't have depth, like if you don't have good backups, you're just gonna struggle. You know, you can't depend on that big name, you know, person or that big name player and just think they're gonna carry you for the whole season. So, it's just been tough. It's been tough, you know. But, outside of the Luck injury, obviously Indianapolis Colts played well. They beat Denver. Just a really amazing performance, you know. So, just shocked that they won. I mean, I thought Denver was gonna spank them. I'm gonna be honest. I thought they was gonna get spanked. And then, oh man, Sunday night. I swear, I have been watching football since I was a teenager, and you know, I've seen so many games, so many battles, so many overtimes, just so much shit. I cannot let Dallas give me a heart attack. I've just told myself I'm not going to let them, you know, give me a heart attack. But, you know, I rarely go on a rant on this show about Dallas. But I will say this. You know, I know that, you know, Dallas fans are obnoxious. I mean, I don't get along with all of them, and I'm a Dallas fan. But I also acknowledge that, you know, the national media – they want ratings, they want attention, and, you know, Dallas is a hot-topic team. People love them or hate them, you know, but either way, people are going to listen, they're going to watch it. And so I try to, especially when we lose, and we've been losing, so I try to avoid, you know, the popular shows whenever we lose because I know I'm going to hear all types of just shit. You know, and it's like 50% of it is going to be good analysis. The other 50% is just going to be just shit. And I hear Ron Jaworski make the statement, oh, we're, you know, Dallas Cowboys, they're just a bad team. That's what bad teams do. Really, Ron? Really, Ron Jaworski? You show me any other team. Any other team in the NFL. Show me 31 teams. Let me take away their starting quarterback, their star wide receiver, their star cornerback. Let me take away their elite pass rusher for the first 5 weeks, their top middle linebacker for the first 5 weeks. Oh, let me remove their second top linebacker for about 2 to 3 weeks, sprinkle them in and out. Okay, let me do that, and I want to see what their fucking record is. That's all I want to know. Just let me watch that. Because if you take away 2 to 3 plays, they have been in every game with the exception of New England. Every single game, it has come down to the end. And you're going to just say, oh, they're a bad team, so my eyes are lying. So what I'm seeing is not real, Ron. You only know it was a bad team. The fucking Detroit Lions are a bad team, okay? They benched their starting quarterback in the first 5 weeks. They went to London and got spanked by Kansas City, who is a bad team themselves. That's a bad team. Okay, a team that blows someone out and just fucking gives up. But a team that loses in overtime or on the last drive several times in a row, don't tell me that's a bad team. Don't tell me that. So, I mean, I just get lost with some of that, you know, those just crazy, you know, type statements. And I've always, I don't know, Ron Jaworski to me just kind of loses me anyway. I mean, this is the guy that said Colin Kaepernick would be the standard at quarterback. You remember when he said that, when he was high on Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah. Well, He was the flavor of the month at that time, and you know, Josh shot his mouth off, and you know, so yeah, man, it's tough for the Cowboys, man. You can't expect any team to take that amount of hits on the injury bug, and be successful. And for him to say they're a bad team is just stupid. It's your dude. You've been playing and watching football for probably about 50 years, Jaws. How do you not know what's going on?
Fucking Jaws. Thank you, man.
I could understand that there was a commentator or an analyst that had never fucking played football in his life, and he's just shooting his mouth off because he has no idea what he's talking about. But for Jaws to be a quarterback, and you know that the field general – and Tony Romo, who's been out for the whole season, for him to say the Cowboys are a bad team and their star receiver has been, I'm like, dude, come on, Jaws. Of all people, you should know.
Fucking Jaws. They kill me. I mean, you know, so I already know what to expect. I already know what's going to happen. You know, I know it's coming. And it's funny because we watched that game, and one of the players that we talked about on the Sunday show was Jordan Matthews. You know, and I want to say all of us, you know, said give him a helmet. We felt that he was going to, you know, have an opportunity. He was going to do some big things. And that son of a bitch catches the game-winning touchdown in overtime. And I knew he was going to make a big play. I knew it. I just knew he was going to make a big play. I didn't expect it at that critical time. I mean, but I knew it was coming, man. I really knew it was coming. You know, he's a good player. He's been inconsistent, but I knew at some point he would make a big play against Dallas. You know, so, but, you know, Dallas and Philadelphia, you know, always a crazy game. You just never know what to expect. You know, DeMarco Murray had a good game. I mean, not just DeMarco Murray. Their run game overall was good. I was surprised at that.
Yeah, they look good, man. I watch DeMarco as closely as I can just because he's on my fantasy team, and I'm always wondering, okay, so who is it going to be? Are they going to have little water bug Darren Sproles in the backfield? Is it going to be Ryan? I can't stay healthy for his full season. Matthews, you know what's it going to be? So, You know what I noticed, though, what they're doing more with DeMarco is I'm seeing him catch a little bit more out of the backfield, which I like. And that's just the product. That's Chip Kelly, you know. That's what Chip Kelly does. But I like that because I get, you know, I pick up a couple extra points or DeMarco Murray owners pick up more points when, you know, Murray catches 3-4 catches out of the backfield for 30, 40 yards. And if here's the thing, man. As many snaps as Philly tries to get off, you can do a two-back set, and you could still get DeMarco for 20, 22 touches and Ryan Matthews for 15. So Ryan Matthews is still serviceable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're spot on. Me, personally, watching the tempo of their offense, you know, because they just came off of a bye. So they got a chance to kind of regroup, you know, find out what's working, what's not working. And it showed, you know, they look sharp. They look better in their passing game. They look way better in their run game. But in my opinion, I think Matthews and Murray are both ownable. And I think you could start both of them because they're both going to get touches. They're both going to get opportunities. And if you're in a PPR, I mean, it's sky's the limit. I think they're both, you know, serviceable. You can start DeMarco, and you can. Man, but they may be hitting their stride. They look good. You know, Bradford looked better. I mean, he's looked like shit the first couple of weeks, but, you know, he looked accurate. He made some big throws. So, I mean, Philly will be okay. They'll be okay. I think they figured out, or they will figure out how to keep it consistent.
I was just going to say, Rooker, what they do is they do a change of pace. Ryan Matthews is, he runs a little bit harder than DeMarco Murray. So he hits the holes and goes more north-south. DeMarco has to be careful with all that dancing in the damn backfield or running to the, or running sweeps and side shit like that. Hey, just go up the field. But I think that's what helps them out is that two-back set. It kind of wears teams out, and especially with the tempo that, that Philly has. What's going to end up happening, though, is you're going to have to just watch Samuel Bradford. He's going to be the key piece. As Samuel goes, the Eagles go. So we'll see what happens in the next month or so.
Yeah. I mean, if his passing is not on, then that offense looks completely different. And, you know, he just so happened he was on the other night. So, yeah, good for him. Good for him. Those fucks. I hate them. All right. So we're going to go to our segment that we call Top Dogs, right? So Top Dogs is a segment that we take the top five performances in key positions like quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And so basically, you know, we look at the guys that perform well. You know, we give you their stats, you know, kind of give some analysis and just really our take on these players. So what we're going to do, we're going to start with the quarterback position. I'm going to name the top five guys that performed in NFL Week 9, and then Aaron and I are going to talk a little bit about their performances. All right, so coming in at number five, Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. All right, Derek Carr has been on fire. This is his fourth time appearing on Top Dog. Derek threw for 301 yards, four touchdowns. Big day for him. I mean, Oakland just looks good overall. So he comes in at number five. Coming in at number four, we have Cam Newton, Big Cam for the Carolina Panthers. Had a day, 297 yards, three touchdowns in the air, one on the ground, and a little over 50 yards rushing. This guy's easy doing everything. He scores over 44 fantasy points on the day. Number three, I think he's making a back-to-back appearance, Drew Brees for the New Orleans Saints, 387 passing yards, three touchdowns in the air, and guess what? Old Drew rushed a touchdown as well. He ran into the end zone. That's a little rare. Drew Brees doesn't really do that. This is his third time appearing on Top Dog. So good for Drew. And number two, talked about him a little earlier in the show, Big Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers. Been struggling as of late, but he is back, ladies and gentlemen. 369 yards, four touchdowns, and over 20 rushing yards with a two-point conversion. So you're probably saying to yourself, okay, Aaron Rodgers had damn near 50 points. Who the hell performed better than Aaron Rodgers last week? I'll tell you, rookie quarterback Marcus Mariota for the Tennessee Titans, 50.5 fantasy points. Listen to these numbers. 28 completions, 371 passing yards, four touchdowns, five rushing yards, and a two-point conversion. And get this, Aaron Rodgers threw an interception, but Marcus Mariota, he did not. So he is our top quarterback at Top Dogs, which is ridiculous. So, Aaron, tell me, what shocked you about that list?
Marcus Mariota, right there. I know he's been injured. The first game of the season, he looked great, man. He kind of put up some numbers similar, not as big. So I'm like, okay, you know, Marcus Mariota, he could be something to deal with. But to put up the most points, and, I mean, the quarterbacks that you named off just before him, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, are two of the best. I mean, I take Drew Brees just about over anybody besides Aaron and maybe Tom Brady. So to see a rookie at that, go for 371, four TDs, zero interceptions, and here's the thing. Who is he throwing to?
True.
Is he throwing to himself?
He brought a friend. He did bring a friend on Top Dog. We're going to talk about a little later. He brought a friend, but, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's not like his – and his best wide receiver didn't play. Kendall Wright, he didn't play. He has an MCL injury.
Exactly. That's what's crazy. He's like, man, What is going on here?
Yeah, that was a quiet, sneaky point.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed it. I mean, someone could have held a gun to my head and they were like, who was the best quarterback last week? I'd have been like, fuck, I don't know. Not Marcus Mariota, I wouldn't have guessed.
Man, no, it was a big time performance, big game. They won against New Orleans, and it was in overtime. It was in New Orleans, so it was a huge win for Tennessee. And here's the thing, folks. All right, so Mariota, this is the second time on Top Dogs, right? Now Mariota, he got injured last 2 weeks, so you know, hadn't played. You know, Mettenberger played. And before he got injured, you know, he had put up two stinkers. And I think that kind of scared people, you know, from him. You know, he started looking like a rookie. But the first 3 weeks, he was hot, right? He had threw four touchdowns in week one, like Aaron said, two touchdowns in week two, two touchdowns again in week three, and almost 400 yards. So he started off looking real solid. And the thing about Mariota, he's only owned in like 38%. Of Yahoo Fantasy League. So get this. We just talked in length about Andrew Luck being injured, you know, possibly not coming back, not really knowing what's going on. So guess what? If you need someone to plug in, you may want to look at a guy like Marcus Mariota. Okay? I mean, it's not the worst mistake you can make, right? I mean, so you may want to give him a look-see there. I mean, he has some, you know, a couple of tough matchups coming up, but, I mean, this guy's pretty resilient. So, I mean, he could be a very interesting fantasy play. Also, Mariota, he can run the ball. I mean, he can run the ball. You know, he prefers to be a pocket quarterback, but he can get you some rushing yards as well. But, no, I completely agree with you. I think he's the shocker on this list. Just to kind of throw in an honorable mention, the guy who was the sixth best quarterback this past week, which I had to double check, was Matt Castle, actually. Matt Castle, yeah, no bullshit. Matt Castle had over 37 fantasy points. He completed 25 passes for 299, three touchdowns, and he had 17 rushing yards. And Matt Castle is owned in a whopping 3% in Yahoo Fantasy League. So, yeah, Matt Castle was the sixth highest scoring quarterback this week in fantasy. Yeah, you think Mariota was a trivia question? How about that one?
Yeah, that's
so that's a tough one. But yeah, that rounds out of quarterbacks. I mean, for the most part, I mean, everyone on the list has at least been on here before, you know, and we had Breeze and Carr with number 3 and 4, but Newton, Rodgers, Mariota all their second time. So it's always good. It's always good when we got reformers. So now we're going to look at the running backs, the top five running backs from NFL Week 9. And, you know, this list, I would say pretty similar to the quarterbacks. I mean, they had one new person, but everyone else was making a second appearance. So starting off at number 5, talked about him a little bit in the show as well. Backup are now starting running back for the Green Bay Packers. James Starks comes in at number 5, a little over 24 fantasy points. his rushing numbers were not blow you away. I mean, he ran the ball 10 times for 39 yards, but he caught 6 passes for 83 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, like Aaron mentioned, this guy had hands. He catches balls out the backfield. He's just looking better right now than Eddie Lacy. And he's only owning 39% of Yahoo Fantasy League. So, you know, definitely throw in a marker for James Starks. I mean, he definitely needs to be on in more leagues. Number 4, a newcomer on the list, backup running back for the Chicago Bears, the rookie, Jeremy Langford, comes in with 25.2 fantasy points. He has 72 rushing yards for a touchdown and he caught three passes for 70 yards, also got a two-point conversion. Now, here's what's interesting about Jeremy Langford. Now, at the beginning of the week, or throughout the week, everyone pretty much assumed that Jeremy Langford was going to be the starter, okay? And about a couple of minutes before the game started, the fantasy community shit a brick because one of the reporters stated that Kadeem Carey would be the starting running back for the Chicago Bears. And he did start the game. And I think he only played maybe like, I think he did the first 2 to 3 snaps or something like that. And then Jeremy Langford came in. But could you imagine if this guy would have started and Jeremy Langford didn't catch the touch the field?
Oh, I would have been pissed because I had him, Jeremy Langford starting in my team. Okay? I don't know who Kadeem Carey thinks he is. But he don't need to be carrying the rock in fucking Chicago, okay?
Oh, man. I thought that was hilarious. Like, Kadeem Carey, like, what? Wait a minute. Why is this guy starting? So, I think that was John Fox just, like, screwing with fantasy people. I mean, he just left the guy carry the ball, like, 2, maybe 3 times. Like, all right, give me Jeremy. Don't let Jeremy get in there. But, I mean, Jeremy still had a hell of a day. 25.2 fantasy points. And he is number 4. Number 3, DeMarco Murray, running back, Philadelphia Eagles. He is the 3rd running back on the top dogs list. A little over 83 rushing yards, found the end zone, and he caught 6 passes for 78 yards. So, really good balanced day. You know, had good rushing yards, good receiving yardage. He was targeted 7 times. He caught 6 of his targets, you know. So, DeMarco is just productive, man. He's productive. I think, you know, maybe they're finding a niche for him on that offense. So, like we stated, you know, just kind of pay attention and see how Bradford takes it. And number 2, running back for top dog, Lamar Miller, running back from the Miami Dolphins. Lamar posted a little over 33 fantasy points. He had 44 rushing yards, but he found the end zone twice. He caught all 7 of his targets for 97 receiving yards. So Lamar Miller switched it up. He went heavy on the ground about a week or two ago, and now he went heavy on the receiving game with almost 100 yards receiving. So Lamar Miller finally getting used down there in Miami. So good for him. And number 1, this guy made me eat my words, man. I felt like, okay, he's not going to come in and just – and guess what? He was even better than he was the first time around. So, thanks, D'Angelo, for making me look bad in front of my my fantasy audience. I mean, he found the end zone twice. He damn near rushed for 200 yards. He had a two-point conversion. And he had 55 receiving yards for a whopping 38.5 fantasy points. So, D'Angelo Williams, man. I mean, I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was this goddamn good. I figured he had that much left in the tank, you know. I mean, I still stand behind my statement. He got this done with Ben. So Ben's going to be out for a while. Let's see if Landry, you know, him and Landry can still. Let's see if they're going to stack the box on D'Angelo and make Landry beat them with his arm. And Landry Jones has a big arm. So it's not like he can't beat, you know, a defense, but let's see what happens. But no, I think D'Angelo Williams, man, he's an amazing player, really good game, and I mean, obviously, he stood out his performance. So, Aaron, what's our thoughts on the running backs, man? What we like about this list?
Well, here's the thing I want to hit on for sure is Jeremy Langford. Keep Langford for all you guys that picked him up for the Matt Forte injury, and here's the reason why. They say Forte is going to be out a couple weeks, and, you know, owners hope that he's coming back. But if Langford keeps performing like he's performing, Matt Forte might not come back. He's in a contract year. He might not risk getting hurt again and not get paid for next year. I know Matt Forte is at 30 years old, but the dude is a fantasy monster when it comes to catching out of the backfield, running. He can still get you 100 yards rushing. So Matt Forte, he might not risk it. And if he's ready it still might be 3, 4, 5 weeks, and by then the playoffs are in full swing for fantasy. So hold on to Langford. I liked how he ran. The dude is strong. He's explosive. He can catch. He had a diving catch, actually made top plays. So
Look
for Langford. It's not too much of a step down that first game. It's the first game for Langford, but wasn't too much of a big step down for Matt Forte. So I like what Langford did. Hold on to him. And then D. Will. The dude's amazing. He's 32 years old, I believe. And here's the thing with D'Angelo Williams. He has stuff left in the tank because stupid-ass Carolina didn't know how to use him, okay? And about 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, he had about 15 rushing touchdowns and like 1,500 yards rushing, okay? I drafted him the following year thinking, hey, this is the dude. And Jonathan Stewart comes in. And all of a sudden, they do this running back by committee bullshit, and D. Will barely is getting 10 to 12 carries. And they just didn't use him, in my opinion, the right way. 32 years old is a little old for a running back, but he didn't get a lot of hits when he's over in Carolina because they just didn't use him enough. So look for him, man. I know that, you know, you bring up a good point. Stack in the box. Let's see what Landry can do. We're going to shut D. Will down, and we're going to see, Landry, you got to beat us with your arm. But D'Angelo Williams can catch out of the backfield. So I like what
very
he can
true.
Do moving forward.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I like what you're saying with Forte. I didn't even think about that because if we remember early on in the year, they were shopping Forte for a trade. They were looking for trade partners to get rid of Forte. And the reason they were looking to get rid of him is because this is his last year. They didn't want to just let him walk the free agency. They wanted to get something for him. But they couldn't find not that he couldn't find a trade partner, he just couldn't make the deal work. You know, and a lot of times they're not going to really disclose what happened. Maybe they wanted too much for him. Maybe teams didn't want to take on his salary. You never know, right? But that's a really good point. They could shut down Matt Forte because this is last season. This is last season. They wanted to get something for him. And him, as a businessman, he's a veteran. He may not risk getting injured again because he knows he wants to, you know, get back on the market. And when he got injured, he went out on a high note. He was performing well, rushing the ball. He was being productive. You know, so you want your last amount of film on you to be good film. You know, so that's a really good point. They could just ride with the youngster and not get him back in there. Now, it also made me think about injury news. So this, I think this came in at about 7 o'clock today. Rookie wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, Amari Cooper, suffered a quad injury in practice. He went down at the start of practice. Put it like this. It's not super serious, but it's not light. And they're gonna update everyone probably by Thursday. But keep an eye on that. Amari Cooper with a quad injury in practice, that could kind of change some things. So we'll keep an eye on that and keep you guys updated. But, yeah, like I said, once again, these damn injuries, man, we just can't shake them. We definitely cannot shake them. So now we're going to move on to the wide receivers for Top Dogs. Had some good performances. So we're going to start with the number five performance for wide receivers. So coming in at number five, we touched on him a little earlier, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jordan Matthews, a little over 28 fantasy points. He caught the winning touchdown in overtime, 133 receiving yards. The guy was targeted 12 times, and he caught 9 of them. So, I mean, he definitely stepped his game up. It was a big performance. Hats off to the young guy. He's on the list. Number four, old Sammy Watkins. I told you guys this guy would come back in a big way. I had a feeling that he would come back in a big way. He did. A little over 30 fantasy points. Sammy Watkins was targeted 8 times. He caught all 8 of his targets for 168 receiving yards. And he found the end zone. You know, so Sammy Watkins is back. I know Buffalo and Tyrod Taylor is happy about that, and I know Aaron is too because he owns Sammy Watkins. So another stud wide receiver to plug into the lineup. But, yeah, good for Sammy, man. It's good to see him back. And he was actually tied this week with our next guy, Michael Crabtree, wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. Michael Crabtree, he's been pretty good this season. He's been productive. He also was targeted 12 times. He caught 7 of those targets for 108 yards, and he found the end zone twice. So Michael Crabtree, you know, he was in San Francisco, you know, couldn't really get it right with Kaepernick, but now in Oakland, him and Derek Carr, they're making it work, man. I mean, he's been double digits the last, like, 3 to 5 weeks. Did 30 points, 23 points, 18 points. I mean, so, and he's found the end zone in the last 3 weeks as well. So, I mean, he has 4 touchdowns in 3 weeks. So, 4 touchdowns in 3 weeks. He's been averaging 100-yard receiving game, and he's been targeted between 8 to 12 times the last 3 weeks as well. So, you know, Crabtree is obviously, he's having a good stretch down there in Oakland, so good for him. Now, number 2 is another one of those guys, Aaron. If they put a gun to your head, I guarantee you, you could not tell me who the second highest scorer and wide receivers are for this week. Do you even want to take a stab at it?
Second most for wide receivers.
Yep.
I'm trying to even think who destroyed me this week. I don't. Because I got, on a side note, I got my ass kicked in both my leagues this week, okay? I wasn't too happy about that, by the way. So, you know what? The guy you mentioned might be the guy that kicked my ass. So who is number 2?
The number 2 wide receiver this week is Dallas Cowboys, Cole Beasley.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Cole Beasley, he was targeted 11 times. He caught 9 of those receptions, 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Cole Beasley has never played that well since Pee Wee. I don't think he's ever had a game like that. I mean, it's shocking. I was shocked. I'm not going to even lie.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's got good hands, but I ain't never seen him put up numbers like this.
That's silly. You know what's crazy is about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was just looking around at free agents, and I'm not going to lie. I typed in the search bar, Cole Beasley. And I was like, you know what? I cannot drop a player and pick up this little white guy that's 5'9", about 170, with his hair. And I was like, no, I can't do it. And you know what? Good for Cole Beasley, man. I like to see little white dudes running around getting 2 touchdowns and just causing havoc.
Well, check this out. I think Cole Beasley performing helped out another wide receiver that got signed by the St. Louis Rams. Wes Welker, ladies and gentlemen,
Wesley
is back in the NFL. He's back. The St. Louis Rams have signed Wes Welker.
I saw that, and I was like, you know what? And then I'm like, no, they have Tavon Austin. I'm like, Wes Welker's got to be like 34 years old, 35 years old.
He's 35. He's 35.
He was never fast to begin with. Now you add a couple more years. I just don't know if he's even worth the look. I mean, maybe watch and see what St. Louis does. I mean, Jeff Fisher is a smart coach. But, yeah, that's don't drop a player for Wes Welker just yet, okay, because I just don't know how he's going to be incorporated into that offense.
That's hilarious. It's like, dude, he was slow 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's like, he just added 5 more years on him. No, man. I mean, they worked him out. Here's the deal. Several wide receivers have been worked out this year by various that haven't gotten signed. Okay? Names like Hakeem Nicks. All right, Hakeem Nicks cannot get on a team. He has worked out for at least 3 teams. One of them was Cowboys. No one wants to sign him. Hakeem Nicks was one. LaMichael James, that kid out of Oregon. I mean, he just got out of college, what, like 3 years ago? He runs a 4.3, and nobody wants to sign him. Who else? There was another wide receiver that got worked out that didn't get signed. Oh, man, the name of escapes me. He was drafted by San Francisco. Oh, man, what was it?
How long ago?
I want to say about less than 3 years ago.
Okay,
man.
He's fairly new.
Yeah, he's fairly new. He can't get signed. Isaiah Pede, I think, just got signed somewhere. But, you know, they worked out Wes Welker. They worked him out. And then after, like, maybe 2-3 days later, they signed him. So I'm really curious to know what is it that they saw to say, hey, this could help us out. Because you just said they got Tavon Austin. Tavon Austin basically is a faster Wes Welker. Well, faster is more athletic.
Yeah, he's just everything Wes Welker isn't. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So the one thing that I give Wes Welker, and this is what they might have seen in him, they're looking at Wes Welker as maybe some veteran leadership, and the dude runs very good routes. So maybe they're thinking he's in maybe 15, 20 snaps just to change the pace from a 4.3 speed to a 5.3 speed. I don't know, just completely throw the defense off. I don't know.
It's what's the deal in baseball? It's the difference between someone throwing you a 100-mile-per-hour fastball and then they hit you with that breaking ball at 60 miles per hour, and you're like, what is that? You just freeze.
You just don't know what the hell is that? You get mind fucked. You don't know what to do.
Oh, man. Wesley Welker is back in the NFL, folks. So there's no guarantee he's going to play this week. They did come out and say that. Obviously, he's a little older. It may take him a while to get going. But, you know, he may get on the field. We don't know. But I agree with Aaron. Don't drop anyone of value to pick up Wes Welker. He doesn't have Peyton Manning throwing to him anymore, or Tom Brady. So let's hold off. Nick Foles is nowhere close to those guys. So let's see what happens in St. Louis. Now, you know, we cracked the joke about Welker and Beasley, but this next guy, his numbers were ridiculous, and he did cause some problems for Aaron's team. His numbers are so cartoonish that if I read them out loud, I don't even think you guys are going to believe me. He was targeted 23 times in one game, 23 targets. He caught 17 of 23 targets. He ran the ball twice for 22 yards. And he had over 284 yards receiving. No touchdowns. And he fumbled the ball, too. He lost the fumble. But he still managed to scrape up 47.6 fantasy points. None other than Antonio Brown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow. What the hell?
I
got to ask you, man. What do you think?
He's still catching passes on Wednesday night, by the way. Okay? This guy is I try to think about when was the last time I saw a performance like this, and I watched a lot of football. The last time I saw a performance like this was when Terrell Owens was with the 49ers. I have to look. I don't know if it was I know he had, I think, 283 yards receiving and 20-something catches. If I remember, I could be a little shady on the catches, but just a monster performance out of Antonio Brown.
And T.O. found the end zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think he found it like two or three times.
Yeah, T.O. found the end zone, yeah.
Yeah, T.O., I mean, dude, let me tell you, I get into T.O., one of my favorite receivers of all time, but back to Antonio Brown, man. That guy, him and Big Ben just click. And I'm sorry for the owners that have Antonio Brown. Sorry, not sorry, because I'm probably going to play against him again. But he's going to take a hit, man. And you noticed it. When Big Ben wasn't playing, Antonio Brown just was not the same dude. His numbers were nowhere near anything to what he did when Big Ben is in the game. The dude catches everything, and he's not big. He's 6 foot, maybe. He's fast, good routes. He's just a playmaker, man. Performance like that is something that you don't see very often. You'll see 10, 12, maybe 13 catches in a game sometimes. But to see 17 for 284, that's just stupid. That's Madden numbers, okay? That's Madden 2016 coming out numbers.
Yeah. It's just not normal. I remember at one point, I mean, and before we move on to the tight ends, I remember Sunday, I text Ty and I was like, bruh, how is it that Antonio Brown is still open? Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you, as a defense, as a coordinator, as a DB, how do you not cover 84? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. After the first 10 catches, it's safe to say that we can't let this guy catch any more balls. Like, we got to sell out. And if we don't stop anybody on this offense, we stop Antonio Brown. It bothers me that he gets open so much. I mean, think about it. When he catches the ball, it's not always him catching in traffic. It's not always him catching over someone. Because Aaron just said it. He's not a big guy. A lot of times when he's catching the ball, there's no one around that some bitch. It's like, how did he get open? Like, how do you lose him? Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's amazing, but it's also frustrating. Because I just don't understand how he gets so damn open. It's unbelievable. But he had an amazing fantasy day. And outside the QB position, that is by far the highest scoring point for fantasy. So, Antonio Brown, have a day, my friend. All right, so we're going to, let's see, we'll close out with the tight end, and then we're going to comment on the Thursday night game so we can wrap the show. All right, so for tight ends, all right, so number five for the tight end position is Richard Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers. Richard Rodgers, I mean, it's not really a name that gets said much, so I don't really have much to say about him. Number four, tight end for the Chicago Bears, Martellus Bennett, the Black Unicorn. Martellus, a little over 19 fantasy points. This is his second time on Top Dog, and you know, Martellus, he's a talented guy, man, but you know, Cutler, he's dealt with some injuries, and you know, he's favoring Alshon, but it's nice to see Bennett get back into the mix. Now, number three, shocking, man, and not shocking because of talent. I truly believe, I want to say about 3 years ago, this guy was one of the most talented tight ends in the NFL. He was very underrated, but he was just in a situation where he couldn't really be highlighted because there was more weapons around him. But number three, Owen Daniels, tight end for the Denver Broncos. Just when we think he would go away, he just doesn't. A little over 23 fantasy points. This is his first time on Top Dog. And he caught six passes for 102 yards and a touchdown. He targeted nine times. So, you know, hopefully him and Peyton develop a little something-something, because Owen Daniels, he's only owning maybe like 30% of fantasy leagues. He's not owning a lot. And at the tight end position, if you find a tight end that's getting points, you got to take advantage of them, because there ain't that many good tight ends in this league. So, Owen Daniels may be someone to keep an eye on. Number two, Tyler Eifert. He went Thursday night. He caught three touchdowns off of five receptions. I mean, this guy is a red zone monster. When Cincy gets in the red zone, Big Dalton, they look for Tyler Eifert. And he looks like a smaller, like, Gronk. You know, he wears a little arm brace that Gronk wears. You know, he's a little thinner. He's like the same height. But he does look like a smaller, like, Rob Gronkowski. But he's good, man. He's pretty good. They use him in a lot of different ways. So Tyler Eifert, a little over 28 fantasy points. And the number one tight end, I really didn't think anybody would outdo Tyler. I thought he would be the top scoring tight end. But Delanie Walker for the Tennessee Titans, he said, give me the ball. This is the guy that Marcus Mariota was throwing the ball to. Delanie Walker caught seven passes for 95 yards, two touchdowns, and a two-point conversion. So he scored 30 fantasy points at the tight end position. So Delanie Walker, good for you. That's a really big day for a tight end, man. 30 points at a tight end spot. 9 times 10, you get that, you win it. You know what I'm saying? So, it was a different list, right? I mean, for top dogs, a lot of times we get the same players on there, but we had a lot of first timers and some second timers. So that's our top dogs list. So before we wrap the show, we always talk about the Thursday night matchup. So we're going to kind of jump into that matchup. And just to remind you guys, we'll be going again Friday night is our DraftKings edition when we talk about DFS lineups. So definitely visit us on Facebook so you can get the information on our Friday night show. So looking at the Thursday night matchup, so we got the New York Jets going against the Buffalo Bills. And basically we can say this is the Rex Ryan matchup. I mean, we got Rex going against his old team. And, they're going to be wearing the new unis. I think Jets are wearing all green, and Buffalo Bills are going to be wearing the all red. So, like, red pants, red jerseys, and then green pants, green jerseys. So they're going to be showcasing the new uniform. You know, we got the Ryan storyline. And LeSean McCoy, he's been listed as probable for this game. So he's not missing the game. He's going to play. And on the injury report, if you probable, that's a really good chance. That's an 80% chance of playing. So that's always a good thing. But and looking in this matchup, Aaron, man, I mean, who do you like kind of standing out from a fantasy standpoint in this matchup?
First of all, let me comment on the early Christmas uniforms. I guess we're just going to rock Christmas uniforms November 12th, red and green. That's cool. I like that. I'm all up for the Christmas spirit, my favorite time of the year. You can't ignore Brandon Marshall, man. The dude is a monster. And it looks like Fitzwatrick, a.k.a. Fitzpatrick, is going to be back. And they have a connection. Brandon Marshall, week 8, is targeted 18 times. Last week he was targeted 8 times, 7, 9. This dude averages 10 targets a game. He's definitely a guy that you're going to be looking for. He's probable, but he's going to start. The dude is tough. And then LeSean McCoy, you want to watch out for him because it looks like he's getting back to his old self. He got hit hard. Ndamukong Suh landed smooth on him. And I don't know if anyone's ever had a 290-pound man fall on you, but I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. So you want to pay attention to the two running backs. You got LeSean, and then you got Chris Ivory on the other side. Chris Ivory, man, he's been quietly having a good year, man. I'm surprised because I didn't like him at all at the start of this year. I stayed away from him because, as you know, the Jets haven't had a decent running back since Curtis Martin. Like, I was trying to think of the Jets, who they've running backs-wise, just – They got Chris Johnson. He didn't do shit. They didn't know how to use him. Sean Green was nothing. Chris Ivory's been there a couple of years. He hadn't done much until this year. So I was like, I'm really not big into Chris Ivory. But, man, I'll tell you what, Dude's been balling. So those three fantasy players, you got to pay attention to them, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the Brandon Marshall. I think he's going to be a target monster Thursday night. Chris Ivory, I mean, I agree. I've always kind of, Chris Ivory, I haven't been, like, high on him, you know? I mean, he's not a big name. He's had some talent, but I always felt like, I mean, he's no one I'm going to reach for, you know? I mean, I always felt like if he fell in my lap, I would take him. But I never went into a draft looking for Chris Ivory. But he's had a good season. He's been kind of quiet, and he's been putting together some good games. And, he should be a force to be reckoned with. On the Buffalo side of the ball, definitely like McCoy. You know, he busted that 40-yard run last week. That was vintage LeSean McCoy. That's the LeSean McCoy that, you know, the fantasy player has been looking for. That's why you drafted that guy. And so hopefully he can get back to that. But I also think, not a sneaky play because he's a good guy, but I think tight end Charles Clay, I think he finds the end zone Thursday night. Jets are they're decent against the tight end, but I think, you know, with Sammy Watkins back and LeSean McCoy, this is going to give them a lot of different weapons to focus on, and I think Tyrod Taylor is going to find Charles Clay for the touchdown. So that's my little prediction on Thursday night. So we'll see what happens, man. We will see what happens. We'll be watching.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you why LeSean McCoy wants to play. Because he knows if he doesn't go, Carlos Williams is going to take his job real quick. That dude looked ridiculous.
Yeah. Carlos Williams found the end zone twice last week. So if you got LeSean, you better handcuff him with Carlos Williams, because that guy he's good. He's really good, and he is chomping at the bit to take LeSean's job. So that's our top dog show. We'll be back Friday night. We're going to be watching the Thursday night game. Follow us on Facebook. We'll keep you posted on everything. And we'd like to thank you guys for listening. So for Aaron Hulsh and Brandon Robertson, we're signing off. To the Point, Fantasy Football.